On Baltimore Public Media, we're on the record. I'm Sheila Cast. Good morning. It was 2 weeks ago yesterday that the Francis Scott Key Bridge toppled into the Patapsco River after the cargo ship Dolly lost power and rammed into one of its piers. Two people working on the bridge survived the fall and were rescued from the river. Three bodies of bridge maintenance workers have been recovered. Three more are presumed dead. The families of those who died, the port, the city of Baltimore have been reeling since then and have also risen to the challenge to provide support and plans for the future. One of the companies impacted by the bridge collapse and the subsequent closure of the port is Pompeian Olive Oil. It started in 1906 as a family business and has operated out of its facility in South Baltimore on Pulaski Highway ever since. In addition to its signature extra virgin olive oil, its products include avocado oil spray, coconut oil spray, grapeseed oil spray, and gourmet vinegars. Muna Esawi, Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of Pompeian Olive Oil, is joining us via Zoom this morning. Welcome to On the Record, Muna.
Good morning, Sheila. Thank you for having me.
So first, tell us about Pompeian. What happens at the plant on Pulaski?
Well, lots happens in our plants in Pulaski Highway in Baltimore. At Pompeian Olive Oil, first of all, we are a very family-oriented company. So we are a family. What we do there is that we interact with each other. We have around 200 employees. The majority of them are either Maryland or Baltimore City residents. And we all really contribute to a very strong culture within our company. We all share the passion for olive oil and the unique relationship that we have. We are farmers owned. So we do have a very unique relationship with the product that we bring in. But essentially what we do at our factory in Baltimore is that we bring olive oil from all around the world, from Spain, Portugal, Morocco, Turkey, Tunisia, but also from South America, from Argentina and Chile. So we've always considered the Port of Baltimore an extension of our operations and really a strong asset for us. And what we do is bring in oil that we bring through the Port of Baltimore, either through shipping containers or through vessels that we bring through our tank farm in the Port of Baltimore called BWC. And then from there, we bring the oil to our factory where it's filtered, blended, and bottled to be distributed all throughout the United States. We're the number one brand of olive oil with over 21% market share in the United States. And that's basically what happens within our operations in Baltimore, is really sourcing the best quality olive oil that we can find all around the world and bringing it to Baltimore, where then it's distributed to our customers and then our consumers.
Well, tell us how the bridge collapse and the port interruption is affecting your business.
So when we heard the news, I think like everyone else around, our first thought were our employees and their families okay, and ensuring that everybody was safe. And really quickly realizing, well, that means that the port is going to be shut down. And that's really something that even if we try to plan for it, it's really complicated to think about our operations without having the Port of Baltimore at the core center. So the priority for us was really our commitment to our employees, ensuring that they could continue to come to work. We did have two or three employees that were traveling through the Key Bridge and had to make some adjustments. But then the next challenge becomes, how do we, Pompeian, try to find a way to survive while we try to understand what's happening as far as the port is concerned? And what we did in the past couple of weeks is really come together and look at all the solutions that we could think of, and come up with the plan that for now we know that we can continue to receive olive oil and other raw materials to our facility, even though the port is shut down. But at the beginning, it was a real concern in ensuring that we're not going to have any interruptions to our operation. One for our employees. This is their source of income, and the concern was, are we going to be able to come to work every day and continue on our regular operations, which we've been able to do. And then the second commitment is obviously to our customers and ensuring that they have a steady supply of our products.
So, what did you do?
So what we did is really look at all the options that we had, and some of them turned out to be good solutions and that we can rely on until the port can open. And others were really just for the next 2 or 3 days that we couldn't really sustain. So what we've looked at is bringing our containers through the Port of New York and then trucking them down to Baltimore as a way to ensure that we did not have any interruptions in our supply chain. But we've also been able, like I mentioned, we do bring raw material through containers, but as in a vessel as well. And for that, we use large vessels with tankers inside of them. The vessel comes through, normally comes through the Port of Baltimore, and then from there we transfer the oil to our tank farm. And what we've been able to do to go around, the safe zone within the Key Bridge, but also the port, is that we've partnered with TradePoint Atlantic, and we were able to use one of their piers to unload some of the oil directly from their pier, rather than having to go all the way up to New York Port and having to come back down. So those are solutions that we put in place very rapidly, in again keeping in mind that it's very important for our community that we stay in business, of course, and that we have uninterrupted operations, but also that we ensure for our customers that we can maintain their supply.
This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Muna Esawi, Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of Pompeian Olive Oil, about how Pompeian is dealing with the collapse of the Key Bridge and disruption at the port. What are you hearing from your employees?
When we all heard the news, our employees all had the same concern: is what are we going to do without the port being operational? And we've been able to really maintain open communication in both ways, in hearing what their concerns are, but as well as explaining the different solutions that we were working on, and really laying the plan of different scenarios that we were looking at. And at the end of the day, they just needed to hear the reassurance from us that we are looking at all options, and we're putting in place all different kind of solutions to ensure that they could feel safe about their job.
Some, as you know, some narrow temporary channels to the port have been opened. Do you have a sense of the timeline for a full reopening?
Yes, we've been able to receive very valuable updates from the mayor's office as well as from U.S. Coast Guard, who explained to us that the plan is that they can reopen partially the port by the end of April to some cargo, and then to fully reopen at the end of May. And what we are working on now is to ensure that our cargo is going to qualify for the end of April opening, which with the solutions that we put in place, it would be a good solution. But if we have to wait until the end of May, we really would need to think about, a different way of continuing to operate. The amount of money that we're investing right now is not something that we can do for continuous, amount of time. But we're receiving very good feedback right now that we would be able to start operating through the Port of Baltimore at the end of April. So that was the good news.
Mona, thank you for explaining this to us, and good luck with the
Thank
timeline.
you. Thank you.
Muna Esawi is Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of Pompeian Olive Oil. We've been talking about how the family-run olive oil company has managed to maintain the flow of their product and kept workers on the job. Short break now on the record. When we're back, we hear about Dundalk residents in the shadow of the bridge collapse and the special support offered to the Latino community. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us. Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. 2 weeks after the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed, we're looking at the effects of the disaster on local businesses and communities. We just heard about how Pompeian Incorporated, a local family-run olive oil business that relies on international deliveries, is keeping its workers employed and its product flowing. But the bridge tragedy is more than an interruption of work. It sent six Latino construction workers to their deaths. Juliana Valencia Banks, Baltimore County's Chief of Immigrant Affairs, has been a pillar of support for those families and others over the past 2 weeks. Welcome back to On the Record, Juliana.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to connect.
And also with us is Tasha Gresham James. She's executive director of Dundalk Renaissance. The nonprofit has been providing many types of support for that community. Welcome to On the Record, Tasha.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Juliana, tell us what these 2 weeks have been like for you.
You know, they have been obviously professionally just very hectic, being very quick about how we are responding to the needs of these families, but also being very strategic. And I would be remiss not to uplift the support and the partnership that we have forged between the different jurisdictions, and especially Baltimore City's Mayor's Office of Immigrant Affairs under the leadership of Catalina Rodriguez Lima, as we have taken a comprehensive approach to supporting these families and getting them comprehensive wraparound services. The first 2 days were obviously just heart-wrenching, being on site with the families and ensuring that some of their immediate needs were being met. And these 2 weeks now, you know, starting to think about strategically how we not only continue to support the families of the heroes, but also thinking about our larger community and how we respond to those needs.
Tasha, tell us what Dundalk Renaissance provides for the community.
Yeah, so we are the community development organization in Dundalk. You know, we came out of a county urban design plan to really revitalize our community. And so what we basically provide, we're HUD approved housing counseling and financial counseling agency. So of course we provide, you know, housing counseling services, financial education. We also have our own in-house homebuyer grant, but we also provide business support for our small businesses. We manage the Main Street in Dundalk, which is a part of our Maryland and National Main Street. So we also put on community events as well. So we are a holistic organization thinking about how to help our community thrive and grow. And so we've been doing that for over 20 years.
Tasha, talk about how you mobilized support after the bridge collapse.
You know, our job, our role at Dundalk Renaissance really is to be a connector to our partners. We work with so many partners. We definitely work with Juliana in Baltimore County. You know, we also work with the mayor's office in the city, because our zip code reaches over not only in the county, but it's also in the city. So, you know, our job was really, how could we bring together all of our resources at our fingertips, all of our partners' resources to help those impacted. And what we started doing was really reaching out to everyone. You know, we work with the Community Assistance Network. We work with Family Crisis Center. We also reached out to our, you know, our connections and our contacts at United Way. But we just really pulled together all of the resources that we knew our partners had. And so we just started kind of working together, you know, and then the Small Business Administration and their disaster relief mobilized their people to our office that following Monday, last Monday. So it was really good to see how everyone just came together. Like Juliana mentioned, just the coordinated effort and just the intention behind it, and everybody just moving together to make sure that the families that were impacted, you know, for those who we lost in our community, being able to see all of that happen very instantly. I was very, very happy and just happy to be a part and happy to connect people to resources as well as we could.
Juliana, what are you hearing from the families who have lost loved ones?
So for the three families whose loved ones have not been recovered, it's that need for closure, that need for their remains to be recovered, right? That's been the number one request from the families, is to continue the efforts to recover the remains of their loved ones. And after that, it's, you know, starting to work with the case managers to identify the needs of the families, making sure that their needs are being met, both financial and emotional, making sure that they have this support from the nonprofit partner that we are working with to help them navigate this labyrinth of services and systems that are not always friendly towards people that are English language learners. So making sure that the services and resources are available to their unique needs.
And Juliana, what about the families of the two men rescued from the river? Have you been in contact with them?
So through my office and the Mayor's Office of Immigrant Affairs, we have been in contact with one of the family members. The other one, I personally have not.
It's Juliana Valencia Banks, Baltimore County's Chief of Immigrant Affairs, on the record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about communities digging in to support each other after the bridge collapse. Also with us is Tasha Gresham James, Executive Director of the nonprofit Dundalk Renaissance. Tasha, who makes up the Dundalk community that you serve?
Yeah, so our community is large. We have well over 65,000 residents. You know, we have a very diverse community. So not only do we have our Spanish-speaking, you know, residents, neighbors, but also Korean and Bhutanese, as well as, you know, African-American and white American. A good portion of our community are what we call our legacy residents. There are seniors who have lived in our community for years, and there are pillars. But, you know, we also deal with low to moderate income population as well, but we're growing. And so we are seeing the change happen. But that makes up our Dundalk neighbors.
And what are you hearing from your neighbors about this tragedy?
Many of them were just concerned for the families who lost men who were their breadwinners of their families. And so we got to see our community come together. Everyone was asking, where can they bring donations, whether it's, you know, financial or food. And so we were helping direct them. Of course, Baltimore County and Baltimore City have outlets to make sure that, you know, food and funding is getting to those families. And then, of course, you know, many of our neighbors are worried about, you know, our port workers, those who worked, you know, around the port, who relied on that transportation of the Key Bridge, but also the access to come through that channel. So many of them just wonder, how can they help, you know, our port workers, those who are truly impacted? And we're also helping our small businesses. Like, they want to know, how can we still get to our waterfront, you know, businesses, or how can we get around to make sure that we're still supporting the small businesses that relied on the, you know, the traffic from the Key Bridge, but also just the workers from the port who had lunch or breakfast and dinner there. So we want to make sure that we are connecting people to alternate routes to get into their favorite places, but also how can we support our workers in the community and around the port.
Juliana, you talked about close coordination with the Baltimore City Mayor's Office of Immigrant Affairs. It's collecting funds to help families of the construction workers. Are you involved in distribution of these funds?
So these funds will be distributed to address immediate needs, right? So some of the, and I can't, speak to all of it, but they have already been implemented and being used for mortgage payments and rental assistance. The Mayor's Office of Immigrant Affairs is putting together a team to ensure that the funds are distributed equitably across the different family needs, right? Thinking strategically about what are the needs that should be met first and how those funds should be distributed in a way that it has a lasting impact on the families.
And Juliana, let me also ask you that the General Assembly just passed the PORT Act. It allows money from the state's Rainy Day Fund to be used to support workers and scholarships for the victims' children. What kind of a reassurance does this provide for families?
I think having this scholarship fund will help alleviate some of those concerns that families have about how they're going to send the children to school, but ensuring that the money that is being sent for the port workers is accessible to folks in mixed status families is going to be really important, that we are developing partnerships with nonprofits such as Dundalk Renaissance or Catholic Charities or GASA that will be able to connect families to these assistance programs. Many times, folks from immigrant communities distrust government entities and are hesitant to seek assistance. And so developing those strategic partnerships is going to be really important so that folks are able to get connected to health and social resources who were impacted by the bridge, right? For immigrants and refugees, access to health and social services has many barriers, and these strategic partnerships can help alleviate those.
Juliana, you have been working so closely with people experiencing so much grief. How are you doing?
I would be lying if I said I was okay. But I am surrounded by a network of amazing friends and family that have checked in on me. Catalina and I are probably closer than we've ever been. I've known her for many, many years and respect her professionally. But she is the first person I text in the morning, the last person I text at night. Sometimes that's, at midnight. Sometimes that's at 3 a.m. So it's really powerful to have that that friendship and that that support. And I cannot say this enough. Baltimore County has showed up for me. Everyone from the county executive to the Office of Community Engagement and our health department, they're not only concerned about the families and the port workers, but they're also concerned about our team. We are checking in on each other and offering support to each other, which is really powerful. Being able to lean in on our team has been really helpful throughout these last 2 weeks.
Tasha, 2 weeks after the bridge collapse, what is the message you have for your community and those who are helping your neighbors?
One of the things I do want to make sure everyone keeps in front of us right now, the topic has been the collapse of the Key Bridge. But it's also what happens after this, right? What happens after it's left the front page of the news and it's no longer, at the top of everyone's mind outside of our community. The main thing is that, we're still here to provide resources and help, but to also just make sure that everyone knows that there are still those who are impacted. This is going to be a long process, not just rebuilding the bridge, but just a long process to getting everyone back working, as by, our favorite word from the pandemic, pivot, right? So we're all trying to pivot to a new normal. How can we make sure that our port workers, the families impacted, that they're not forgotten about? And so I just want to keep that in front of everyone that this is a long process, but there'll still be resources that will still be needed for our community and those impacted by this event.
Thank you both for talking with us. Important points. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Tasha Gresham-James is Executive Director of Dundalk Renaissance. Juliana Valencia Banks is Baltimore County's Chief of Immigrant Affairs. We've been talking about the support and resources that have been mobilized over the past 2 weeks for the families of the Latino workers who died in the bridge collapse and also for the Dundalk community. More information about resources and support at the other record page at wypr.org. I'm Sheila Cast. Glad you're with us on the record. Come back tomorrow.